Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for this evening. Thank you, God, for the blessing that you showed me. And I really appreciate the fact that I could go along to Israel with my pastor. That was such a blessing. I can tell you the biggest blessing is when both of us went to Wadi Amman village. And we walked the streets praying. And it was awesome. We talked to several individuals on the way and kept praying. And we came across some young men. And the pastor asked, "Hey, does anybody speak English?" And they said, "Yeah, I speak a little English." So we went up and sat down. The pastor started ministering God's word to them. He even had an app on his phone to help, because they can only speak a little English. However, it turned out to be great, and what a blessing it was for the pastor to minister God's word to them. And he also invited them to Sunday. The pastor was going to have a Sunday meeting, singing a song and preaching God's word. And we invited, I think there was a total of 5 people there. I thought that was really awesome. It really was. But at the same time, the pastor asked, "Is there anybody in this village that we can pray for that is sick?" And sure enough, we came across 2 people, went to their homes. And one thing I like to share right off the bat, I noticed when you go to a person's home over there, they want to offer coffee, any type of drink, which is water or soda, but all of them had the hospitality. And it was so neat. They said, "Coffee, more coffee." I said, no, I've had enough coffee. But it was such a blessing. But the one person that we prayed for, and the pastor really did most of the praying. I'm praying also, but I'm doing it in silence. This guy was in a coma for 8 years. And trying to minister the word with Jesus is kind of hard for Jews. But nevertheless, the pastor ministered his word. And I truly believe, we both believe, that that man's going to be healed. And Christo is going to give him a call and let him know that. Now, the second person we prayed for was an individual that had cancer. And then he was going through chemotherapy. And then he had a stroke during that process, apparently. So he was kind of, couldn't talk. His thinking was not all correct. But however, we prayed for him, and we believe the same. We know that Jesus is there for all of us and for them. And that place was they had a nice porch that outlooked Arbel Mountain. And we were thinking, man, that'd be a good spot to have a little ministry right here and have people come and minister the word. So we're praying. Had an opportunity to pray for a lady on the way there. And I say pray. I was actually ministering, trying to minister God's word to a Jew. It's just not all that easy. But anyway, I did. We both believe in what we do. And we know God's word stands forever. And we know God is with us. And we know that the Jews will come across and have a way. Now, the first time we got there, of course, we've been up for 2 days. We went to, believe his name is Ovi, is the minister, Avi. And they just trying to remodel a building on the 4th floor. They were bombed out of their last building. I'm not sure how far back that was, but we went inside and they were remodeling. And they were having a ministry there at that building. I think there was a total of about maybe 15, 20 people there. But anyway, I had an opportunity to share and witness Jesus to one man there. I felt so impressed to talk to him about the Jesus. And what I had to say to him was really good, because when the minister, as we left, I said, well, you know, it's getting time to, we're going to have a ministry here. I said, I guess we need to head on over into the room. As we went over there, the minister was saying exactly what I was telling this man. And I thought, wow, how neat to be obedient to the God's word. But the most important, I thought, was so good is walking those streets, knowing that people, even though they may not have come out, they knew we were there. And one way to verify that is that when we stopped to have coffee, I think it was a day or two later, the guy said, hey, I seen you guys walk in our village. And I thought that, oh, yeah, okay, that's kind of cool. But anyway, there was a purpose for us, and praise God that we were there for that. And I just thank the Lord that I had a privilege to do that with the pastor. That was such a blessing. But anyway, I can talk more, but we can save it for later, because Ovi has a book, and I started reading that book. But I'll share that later, I guess, if we do any more talking about it. So.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, you know, Brother Hagin talks about us seeing and knowing ministry of the Holy Ghost. In other words, God will sometimes show you a picture in your heart of something that you're supposed to do. And if you'll obey that picture that you see and hear, God's blessings will follow. So the Lord had showed us last year when we were climbing down Mount Arbel. We saw that village down below, because you can see it real clearly from the top of the mountain. And I just was intrigued by it. You know, it's got this small neighborhood look to it, and I was just curious what it's all about, and come to find out from our taxi driver it's a Bedouin village, which means they're Muslim and Arabic people. And that's where it seemed like the Holy Spirit opened up more ministry actually among the Arabs this time than the Jews. But praise God, wherever the doors open, that's where we're going to go. Praise the Lord. Well, give Rose a big hand as she comes to minister the word of God tonight. Rose, I know it's going to be great. Bless you.
Prayer and worship. I thank you, Father, for your presence. And as always, we welcome Holy Spirit to do what you want to do, say what you want to say, and show us what you want to show us. We yield to you. We thank you, precious Holy Spirit. We honor you. We welcome you. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. Have your way. Do what you want to do, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalms 106, verse 7 will be. I want to share something God said during prayer. He said, living a lifestyle of prayer and seeking his face will save you when you're in the lion's den. You don't wait till you're in the lion's den to have a life of prayer. You have a prayer life. Daniel prayed 3 times a day, and God spared him in the lion's den. So when you're going through a trial and you're faced with things that seem insurmountable, that prayer that you prayed that morning will hold you through the rest of the day. Romans 8, 26 through 28 says, when we're praying in the Holy Spirit, we're praying the perfect will of God, but it also says that we're praying in harmony. We're aligning ourselves. It's so important that we pray in the Holy Spirit and build up ourselves, because we expand as we pray in the Holy Spirit. And we don't know it all, but Holy Spirit does. And God will reveal secrets to you. He'll tell you things that you don't know. And he'll save you a lot of money. He'll save you a lot of time. And he'll save you a lot of heartache. And I love what Pastor Terry said when she was reading Psalms 23. And then at the end she said, you may not think you can do it, but you can through his strength. And I want to say, can't never could. Can't never could. And it shouldn't be in our vocabulary, because we serve the God who does the impossible. And so if you're going through a trial and you're walking through the fire, you'll not be burned as long as you keep your eyes on Jesus. Amen. Well, this week has been quite interesting. I've had some personal encounters with the Lord Jesus that in all my 50 years with him, just pray. The weight of his glory has been on me so heavy that at times all I can do is cry. Sunday something happened to me. Let me just get where I'm going. Hold on just a second. I know what I'm doing, so just be at peace. So, Pastor, and this isn't to toot my horn or nothing, because it's never happened to me before. But after the service on Sunday morning, I took care of my husband, and I said, do you mind if I go be alone with the Lord? And he said no, and I got down on my face, and I began to thank him for how great he is. And the testimonies that have come out of last week, to God be all the glory. I don't know if y'all remember this, but I said, please don't ever say it's all God, it's all God. We are co-laborers. I can show you four different places in the New Testament that says we're called as co-laborers. The difference is we don't take any of the glory. We're not that smart to reach your heart. I'm not that bright to reach your heart. I'm not stupid. And 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, I have the mind of Christ, so I can hold the thoughts and intents and purposes of his heart. I can know his move. And all through prayer, things were said, and I was like going. But Pastor, I got down on my face, and I began to thank him and have that attitude of gratitude that you talked about, that grace sustains us and grace supplies. And I was just so thankful. And I just started to weep uncontrollable. And I said, Jesus, what is this? And he said, Rose, I'm grieved. Let me back up. The title of my message is Reclaiming the Lordship of Jesus. Reclaiming the Lordship of Jesus in our lives, in our family, in our city, our state, our country, our church. And this is what the Lord said. My people have become common to the altar call. And they've become common to church. Nah, I got something else to do. And he said, while I was on the floor weeping, he said, Rose, Pastor gave an altar call. And I said, yes, sir. I said, two people went forward. And he said, then your pastor said, I believe 70%, correct me if I'm wrong, of you should have come forward. I feel that 70% of you. And he says, sometimes, Rose, dealing with my body to bless them is like pulling teeth. And I gave my all. And I'm all I'm asking you is that you give your all. God's not asking us to be crucified. He's just asking us to surrender all. We sing the song, I will make room for you. But will we? Will we? Will you put down that phone? Will you turn off that TV? Will you love deeper? Will you sacrifice your time to be with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? He shouldn't have to pull teeth to get us to do that. My goodness, we are eternal. We are eternal beings. Our life is not our own anymore. This isn't Burger King. You can't have it your way. Galatians 2:20 says, it's not I that liveth, but Christ in me. I no longer live the life of flesh. Now the life I live by faith in the Son of God. Galatians 2:20. So when you cry and you say, I just want to do my thing. And he's saying to you tonight, this isn't Burger King. We died to ourselves. When we were born again, he said, 2 Corinthians 5:17, brother. 2 Corinthians 5:17. We all know this, and that could sometimes be to our detriment, because we'll cut him off and we won't look for anything new. Do you have it, brother? Therefore, when he says therefore, it's there for a reason. If anyone be in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away, and behold, new things have come. 2 Corinthians 5:17. We are not the same person. And Ephesians says, we have died to sin. You're not a sinner and the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I have died to sin. I used to sin, now I have died to it. Not saying I won't ever sin again, but I have 1 John 1:9 that he is faithful and just to forgive us of all unrighteousness. I looked up the word common because he kept telling me these words, keep the sacred thing sacred. I'm going to say that again. Keep the sacred thing sacred. 1 John 2:27, it says, you have received a sacred anointing from the Holy One. You have an appointment with God. And keep those sacred things sacred. Well, as my day went on, and he still kept me on my face for the last 2 weeks, and I was praying, and he said, Rose, things have become common to my people. And he said, I said, what do you mean by that, Lord? He said, complacency. They've gotten lazy in their prayer life. And we don't have time to do that, brothers and sisters. I feel like I'm preaching to the choir. Y'all are all here. But for some reason, he wants you to hear this tonight because I don't know your heart. The heart is deceitful above all things. And only God knows our heart and how committed we are to please him and to honor him and to seek his face. You know, King David, I brought it up last week. King David said in Psalms, I believe, 24, 4 and 8, he said, one thing have I ask of you, that I may dwell in your house and in your presence. That's one thing God asked, is that, can you just go to church? Can you just go be in my presence? Can you go in your prayer closet? And can you say no to that wonderful distraction of the age? The pleasures of men will choke the word of God, Mark 4:19 says. And before you look back, you'll go, how did I get here? It's because the cares of this world and the distractions of the ages and the pleasures of other things are begging at your heart. And you have to say, I reclaim the lordship of Jesus in my life. No, I won't. And my best friend and I, we love to go shop Tuesdays because it's senior day at Ross. And I earned that discount. I'm a senior and I'm thankful for every day that God has given me. But one day the Lord said, tell her no. I said, oh, she's all right. She's ready. She's about to come over. He said, tell her, no, I want to spend time with you. Will you make room for me? And I said, yes, sir, I will. So I called her up and I said, listen, something's come up and I can't be with you today. And I said, I love you and have a good time. And I had the best day with the Lord. See, you can't outgive God. You can't outgive God. Ruth gave her all to follow Jesus, to follow God. She gave her all, and what happened? The field that she worked in, she owned it. God will never let you outgive him. He will always honor you, and he will always look at your heart. So let's look at Psalms 106, verse 7. Our fathers in Egypt understood not nor appreciated your miracles. They did not earnestly remember the multitude of your mercies, nor imprint your loving kindness on their hearts. But they were rebellious and provoked the Lord at the sea, even at the Red Sea. Do you know to be rebellious is to be disobedient, and to be rebellious is as a sin of witchcraft? My surrender is my obedience, and my worship is my obedience. And so we bring that before the Lord, and we say to him, you're well worth it and so much more. I mean, who am I, this little, well, y'all might not think I'm so little, but he does. Who am I that this bones should be able to bring him pleasure and worship him? And to stand here, what an honor. And thank you, Pastor, for the honor. This is a huge honor. I don't take it lightly. When I know I'm going to speak, there, I have like 15 pages, I could preach enough for 2 months at what God has given me. And I throw my all in it and I say, are you happy? Did it touch your heart? Because that's what it's all about. My life is not about pleasing Rose or making a reputation or what you might think of me. My life is to bring him glory and honor. Did I obey you? Did I listen to you, God? Did I run to the throne or did I run to the phone? We need to stop trusting outside influence. It's not so good. It's not so good. It'll lead you astray. Galatians 1:10 said, if I should seek to please men, then I should not be the servant of Christ. And also in 1:15, he said, when I sought the Lord, I did not confer with mere flesh and blood. Don't go ask people their opinion. When God tells you what to do, do it or you'll reason it away. You'll reason it away. So they didn't appreciate. Deuteronomy 4:29 says, if I will seek him, I will find him. And I have found him. In a way, the last couple of, maybe, well, all year, all year. But in a way, I didn't even know was so deep. You know, Psalms 42:1 says, deep call, roaring deep calls unto deep. And if you're the same way you were last year, you might want to ask God, I haven't grown a bit, but we grow in grace. We don't grow on our own. He is all the while effectually at work in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So even if you're not willing, he'll make you willing if you ask him to be. Lord, I'm not really willing, but I'm willing to be willing. Can you make me willing? And he'll make you willing. He'll give you the desire of your heart as you delight in him. So stop quoting, you know, I'm going to get the desire of my heart, because it says, as we delight in him, as I find my pleasure in him, then he gives me the desire of my heart. God is not a cash cow. He's not a quick fix. You know, the other day I said, I want to tell you the difference in a minute between entitlement and humility. I said, Lord, it's hot. Could you give me a front row parking place? And he did at HEB. And I was like, oh, wow, it's front row. And I said, this came out of my spirit. But God, even if you didn't, I'm not entitled to anything. See, we are joint heirs with the Lord Jesus, but we are not entitled to everything that comes out of our mouth and for him to jump every time we speak. Do this, do that. And he said, what about I ask you to do this and do that? What about that? And so he said, let's go back to our forefathers. They didn't appreciate. Listen, they were barely out of the Red Sea, and they started to complain. Oh, my goodness. And he said, watch it, because I do miracles all the time here. I'm moving here. And you're barely out of church and you go do your thing. So you can't point a finger at them unless you point four back at yourself. See, I don't know what y'all are doing, but I'm only accountable for Rose Hudgens, whether I obeyed him. And he has been showing me more and more and more that as I move closer to him, that I am moving more what my prayer was at the beginning of January. My prayer is that I would come into perfect alignment with him and that I would have prophetic accuracy. And I cannot tell you the testimonies of the prophetic accuracy that he's doing through me. Again, I don't get in glory, but he wants to work through all of us. Each and every person sitting under the sound of my voice, we have a calling. And it's the gifting. And you are responsible for before God of what you do with it. And so these little miserable people didn't give God any glory. They didn't appreciate him. So I'm going to give you five things. And I'm going to give you some homework assignment. Because for the sake of time, God wants to do something here tonight. Greater, personal, that he's already doing, even now. But the five things that they didn't pay attention to And they happen to be all M's. I'm not that smart, but he is. And the first one is they didn't appreciate his miracles. Do you know that the greatest miracle, I was at Livingstone's and I was praying, oh, Father, I want to see a miracle. I want to see legs grow, blind eyes open, somebody raised from the dead. I want to see miracles. And he said, open your eyes and look at the altar. And I did. And he said, see those three people there getting saved? That'll be the greatest miracle you'll ever see. That'll be the greatest miracle. We can't underestimate the power of being born again. We are blessed to live eternal with our eternal Father. We have a place in heaven. Oh, my goodness. I just can't wait to see him. And there'll be crowns and there'll be rewards. But my thing is, I want to behold him. I want to get down on my face and kiss his feet. I want him to hold me close to his chest. I want him to say, well done, thou good and perfect servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord and a hallelujah hot dog. I'm here. Yay. I don't want to go across the gates of heaven just crawling in to barely get by. I want to serve him with the fire of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I want to be on fire 24/7, 365 days a week. I want to be instant in season, ready to go, buying up every opportunity that he said, go call this person. I have a word for them. Every single time he does that, every single time they cry and they say, you just don't know. I don't, but he does. And he'll have you do things that are uncomfortable for you, but that he's getting the glory. See, it wasn't so fun going 7,100 miles. I looked it up the other day from Dickinson. They went 7,100 miles to obey God for the one. For the one. Will you do that for him? He may not ask you to go 7,100 miles, but will you sacrifice your time to go tell that person at Baybrook or the grocery store or whatever that God loves them, that he has a plan for their life? Let me just give you the five, and I'll get distracted if I don't. The first one was miracles, and we have a Deuteronomy 6:23 put by it. He brought you out to bring you in to his glorious light. That's what 1 Peter 2:9 says. He brought you out of darkness to bring you into his marvelous light. You're a priest unto our God. Hallelujah. In Ephesians 2:8, he says, for by grace have you been saved, and that not of yourself, lest any man should boast. He chose us. John 15:16 says, you did not choose me, I chose you. Let's just get that straight. I knocked at your door and you said, yes, now follow me. I'm not following you. You know, we make our plans, they fail, and then we blame God. God is never, ever, ever the problem. It's either me or the enemy. But you can take God out of the equation. People blame him for tornadoes and God just needed another flower in heaven. That's why he took your favorite person. That's not true. That's not true. He doesn't have any needs. He is the all-sufficient one. He is almighty. Elyon, Elohim. He is almighty God. He doesn't need our little, assistance. We just get to be used by him. What an honor. So the second one is they forgot the multitude of his mercies. Listen, every single day, every time I wake up, I say, I'm breathing. You still have something for me to do. Thank you, Lord. Daniel 5:23 says, the God in whose hand my breath is and my ways of doing, I'm in his hands. And it was a story about Daniel, and I won't get into it, and Belshazzar. And his pride was lifted up, and he took advantage of the sacred things, the holy things that belonged to God. And he was getting down. He was having a party. He was taking those gods. He made gods of gold, and he was just drinking away. And then suddenly, the hand of God writes, the finger of God writes on the wall. Have you heard that saying? The writing's on the wall. That's where it comes from. So his little self, long story short, God dealt with him. It says, as soon as he began to take the sacred things of God and abuse them, it says immediately, my Bible, and suddenly God dealt with him. We don't want to mess with the sacred things. Listen, brothers and sisters, this altar is sacred. And when pastor or whoever stands behind this pulpit and gives an altar call, it's the Lord's Spirit given. He said, I set before you something, and you said, it's come. I'm coming forward. So many times that's happened. And I have to say, I've been guilty and going, speaking to me? He goes, you know I'm speaking to you, Rose. He tells me that all the time because it was just an excuse of my flesh. And our flesh needs to bow down. The third thing is the majesty of God. He just opened the Red Sea, delivered him from Pharaoh, delivered him from the house of bondage. He opens the Red Sea and he said, the Bible says he was a cloud by day and a fire by night. And he struck the rock and caused the water to come forth. And he was there. But they forgot the multitude of his mercies. Don't ever take his mercy for granted. They're new every morning, and we need it. I need it every single morning. Thank God for the mercies of God. I praise God. Listen. Psalms, you can take this down, a side note, Psalms 78, Psalms 105, 106, and 107 talks about their complaining spirit, and they forgot to remember how good God was. They forgot him. Oh, let it not be said of us. They forgot the majesty of God. Psalms 29:4, we'll read this together. Psalms 29:4. I was sitting in my office. I just love Jesus. I love God so much. And I don't know why people say it's boring to get in the Bible. And I told you last week, don't approach it as I'm getting in the Bible. You get to be with the Bible, the living word. So we hear all the time, get in the word, get in the word, and get in the word. And the Lord told me to tell y'all last week, approach it as be with the word. Be with the word. And so I'm sitting there and I said, you know, Father, I don't really have a scripture for the majesty of God that just rolls out of my innermost being, out of your belly. See, out of our belly should flow the rivers that other people need, not out of here. Out of our belly will tell us what to do. So out of my belly, he said, turn to Psalms 29:4 about his majesty. And I was one tickled girl. It says, the voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. And in my Bible, it says, the voice of the Lord is majesty. I don't know what I'd do without the voice of the Lord. The first thing I noticed when I was born again was the voice of the Lord. And my friend said, Rose, how come you hear the voice of the Lord so easy? And I was just newly saved. It was about a year when she asked me that. She was actually my mentor. And I said, well, Lynn, I don't really know, but I'll pray about it. And I said, I have to go to the other room right quick, and I'll be right back. And as I was walking, he said, tell her you hear it by faith, and you respond to faith. Faith without works is dead. And I come back, and I said, Lynn, he just told me to tell you it's by faith. She goes, how do you do that? And I said, I just told you. He said, it's by faith. John 10:27 says, my sheep hear my voice, and the voice of a stranger they won't follow. You do hear God. You're just desensitized to his voice. You've given too many other things preeminence. But when you put him first, his voice will be so escalated. Just like Sunday when I said, where's the scripture about majesty that you want to bring out? See, I could have looked it up in concordance or whatever. And he said, Psalms 29:4. Yes. Your voice. I am so thankful for the voice of God. It's a gift, and I never want to take it for granted. I appreciate his voice. So I also gave you a scripture last week, and I think it's worthy of saying again. Psalms 46:10, it says, let it be. Whatever's troubling you, whatever you're going through, let it be. Leave it alone. And know that I am God. And know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. And when you have that experience with God, like Isaiah had in Isaiah 6:1, I am undone. I am undone. You will exalt him. And that's what we're supposed to do. You know, I don't understand. I went to a ladies' conference once, and I got about 3 pages out of the speaker. And there was 12 of us in this dorm. And I come back, and 11 of them were complaining how they got nothing out of the speaker. And I picked up my paper, and I was like, 1, 2, 3. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? And the Lord said their heart wasn't prepared to receive from me. So we have to prepare the heart, the altar, and lay the wood. And if you're not undone in the presence of God, I'm sorry, your wood's wet. Because I'm undone every single time. And one of my youngest daughter, one of my daughters, I only have two. One of my daughters, both of them are anointed and very precious. But my youngest one, Cash's mama, if you tell her Jesus loves her and you have a word for her, you're going to have to pick her up off the floor. That's how tender that baby is. See, everybody spiritually knows Chandra because she was more extroverted at the church we used to go to. But what they don't know, and you won't know unless you know her heart, is that she loves Jesus deeply. She loves Jesus with all her heart. So the next one is memorials of remembrance. We need to remember. Remember the time he met your need. Remember the time. I remember the time he healed Luke at the age of 3. He contacted a disease that usually attacks older men, and it's called Guillain-Barré syndrome. And I wouldn't look it up. When my daughter called, she said, "Mama, his body's attacking itself." He had been to 3 different hospitals, misdiagnosed for about 20 days. And he got to Texas Children's just in time, they said, right before life support. They got him there, and they did the test, and they found out it was Guillain-Barré. And she said, "Mama, I need you here at the hospital." And Troy looked up the, I kept calling it Gilligan something. And so when I called my pastor, she said, "You mean Guillain-Barré?" And I said, "Yeah." And so he wanted to tell me about it. I said, don't tell me, because I don't want it to interrupt my faith. And I remember after he was in there 3 days, it was Easter Sunday morning, and my heart was so broken. And I just come home, and I just wept and wept, because Guillain-Barré syndrome, basically you're paralyzed, and you're in extreme pain. He told Aunt Krista, he called her Aunt Krista, "Be careful when you touch me." And I mean, as a grandmother. And so on Monday morning, I woke up, and I was caught up in the spirit, and I was outside the pediatric Texas Children Hospital intensive care. And I peered through the window, and I said, something had a hold on him. It was black. It was about this big, and it looked like a kite. And I said, "Jesus, what is that?" And he said, "That's Guillain-Barré syndrome. Now do what I'm telling you to do." And I did what he told me to do. Well, the next morning, my best friends were going to go to the hospital to support me and encourage me. I said, "No, he doesn't talk, and he hasn't gone to the bathroom in 11 days, and he can't eat." And this was when I visited him Sunday. And I said, "And he can't even hold a flashlight." They give him a little flashlight. And so all these, and I said, but the Lord, I had this experience yesterday." And I told him about the experience. And we got to Texas Children. He was eating. He had a bowel movement. He sat up. He held a flashlight. And so that was Tuesday. And on Thursday, the doctors come in and said, "He won't walk for a year." And I said, "But my God." And I took him to Texas Children for rehab. It was my turn to give my daughter a break. She had baby Jacob at the time. And so I took him. He was on my hip. And then I had my purse and his diaper bag over here. And I set him in the middle of the floor. And I turned around to put up my purse and the diaper bag. And everybody started screaming and clapping and shouting, hallelujah, hallelujah. And I was like, what? What happened? And I turned around and Luke took off running. Don't tell me my God can't. So it's important that we remember. I remember when I was financially had nothing and a check from the IRS came in for $14,000. We were kind of ignorant and we thought, let's cover our taxes so we won't have so much to pay for at the end of the year. Well, we covered them. But we covered them so much that we got a return that year of $14,000. Don't tell me God won't supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But we have to remember. And in those four Psalms I told you, Psalm 78, Psalms 105, Psalms 106, and Psalms 107, they forgot. They forgot. They hastily, the Bible says, my Bible says, they hastily, let me just read it if I can find it. 106:13, but they hastily forgot his works. They did not earnestly wait for his plans to develop regarding them. If God has a call on your life, you better wait. You better wait. You better not get out there in the arm of the flesh. You're going to fall right on your face. You got to remember he's in charge, not us. Again, this is not Burger King. You can't have it your way. And the last one is meditation. We need to meditate. And can I just give you an example of meditating? Isaiah 6:1 said, in the year King Uzziah died, Isaiah saw the Lord. And he said, he was high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. And the angels surrounded the throne and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And Isaiah said, oh, woe is me. I am undone. I have unclean lips and I dwell with people who have unclean lips. And then the angel of the Lord took the coals and took the word of God and touched his mouth. And God said, who shall I send? He said, I'll go. When you have an encounter with God, I'll go. I'll speak. I'll do what you tell me to do. So we need to meditate. It's so important that you meditate on God's word. You rehearse it. I write it, I rehearse it, and then I pace. And then I say, my 2 Corinthians 9:8. And I want y'all to hear this, and I want you to take that scripture down because it's by grace that Pastor taught on Sunday. It says, my God is able. My God is able to make all favor and blessings come to me in abundance that I may always and under all circumstances be self-sufficient. I possess enough to require no aid, and I'm furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. That is not to impress y'all. That is to use every time a bill comes in and it seems to want to overwhelm me. I give it 2 Corinthians 9:8. Oh, no, you don't. God is able to make all grace come to you. You don't make the grace come to you. He makes the grace come to you. So I hope you never lose your sense of wonder. I hope when you stand beside the oceans, you still feel so small. And I hope every time you see a sunset or a sunrise, that you give God the glory and say, look at what you've done, God. I love, 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 love the mountains and oceans surrounding the mountains. I am always in awe at what he said. Now, I just want to quickly read. I know my time has gone over a little bit, but can I go on a little bit? Okay. It said, I can't be full of gratitude and be complaining too. Matthew 12:35 says, you'll either fling forth good things or you're going to fling forth a bunch of garbage. But make the tree good. For out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. You can pinpoint where I am, and you can pinpoint who I've been with by my actions. Ben said a few weeks ago when he was teaching, you can tell who a person has been around because they'll reflect that person. And so I hope you've enjoyed these series with this, but this is what God wanted me to say to you tonight. Perhaps the very thing you've been searching for isn't found in your doing, but in discovering the seat at his face. Perhaps the thing that you've been searching for isn't found in your doing, but in discovering his face. Amen? Taking a seat. See, he's called a banquet tonight. And we get to choose whether we come. And y'all are going to receive because you're here. Always remember, you can do what he says you can do. You can have what he says you can have. And you are who he says you are. So, if I could have a minute to minister in the Spirit. Last week I heard the greatest compliment for the Lord, not for me. May I say what she said to me, Ashley? She said, I'm so glad you were able to make it Wednesday night. And she goes, I didn't want to leave. I want to stay another hour. That's the glory of God. That's how we should be in his presence. You know, sometimes I'm needed elsewhere. I have responsibilities to look well to my household. And my husband comes, it's my father, and then my husband, and then my church. My children, my church. My priorities are in alignment. And so, let me just start with Terry and Judy. 1 Samuel 30, 21 through 25. It's the story of Ziklag, and they went forward. David pursued the Lord. Listen, that's why he had a heart after God's own heart, because he always inquired, what do you want me to do? And the Lord said, pursue, overtake, recover all. He did, and then he came back with the spoil, and one of the evil men said, you know, we're not gonna share this spoil with them. And David, King David, he was such a man of integrity. He said, we'll share the spoil with those that went forward in battle and those that stayed home. And God said, Judy and Pastor Terry, that you share in that reward. You share in that reward. And everyone who prayed and gave, you share in that reward. According to 1 Samuel 30, verse 21 through 25. Hallelujah. For you share of him who goes into the battle. For as in the share of him who goes in the battle, so shall his share be to those who stay at home. They shall share alike. Y'all will share in the spoil. You're a pastor too. Pastor Scott and Rick, the Lord said thank you for what you did for him. Thank you for what you did for him. I don't know if you remember the word, Pastor. I have it for you. I brought it just in case. And this was wrote this morning, and we happened to say it in prayer. One plants, one waters, but God adds the increase. And he said to tell you thank you. And then he told me this for you, Pastor. He said, Mark 10, 29, 30. He says, no man leaves their father, mother, sister, brother, or their land that I won't in this lifetime give you a hundredfold return. And though it was hard, and it seemed that nothing was being done that you wanted, God's plan was activated. God's plan was activated, and you did the will of God. And, you know, Genesis 22:12 says, by this I know you fear me because you obeyed him. Your obedience was your worship. And though it was difficult at times in Israel, and I've been there, and it's hot. I don't do hot. But God will reward you exceedingly abundantly. You can't outgive God, Rick. You can't outgive God. And as I was praying for a couple of days, the Lord said, read Joshua 1. And he said, that's what he's saying about you right now. Only be strong and courageous and meditate on the word day and night that you can observe to do according to all that is written therein. And then you'll make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. And the Lord said again, thank you for what you did for him. Great is your reward. Thank you, Jesus. Ashley, can you just stand? I just like it when people stand and look in face. I want that face-to-face relationship. And the Lord said he's moving you into a new era, and it's called the ministry of exhortation. And you'll exhort people, and you'll counsel with people, and you'll point them to Jesus, and you'll be able to bring him glory. And he said he's lifting up. He's asking you to expand your tent and put your stake down over here because he has a great work for you to do. And he said, and you'll share your testimony and set a lot of women free, like is in the book of Ruth. You'll go forth and you'll demonstrate the love of God and his healing power. And when you hold them, the Lord will heal them. That's the word of the Lord. When you hold them, he will heal them. Amen. And Miss Bunny, could you stand up? I've had you on my heart. When I'm down on my face, can I just hug you? Can I just get some of that love you have so freely given to so many people? I saw a river. It was a great river. And that river was flowing in the word joy. 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 It was just flowing. It covered the waters. And the Lord said, weeping comes for a moment, but joy cometh in the morning. And the spirit of joy will overtake you, and you will have such holy laughter. Yeah, there it goes. There it goes. You'll have such holy laughter that you won't be able to stand up. You'll be down on the floor, rolling, laughing, and let people, who cares who sees you, because it's a holy moment. It's sacred, he said. That holy laughter is sacred. And he said, and the more you laugh, the more that healing is taking place in you. Amen. And he said, he honors you for honoring him. For honoring him. Thank you, Jesus. Janice, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And the heavens are open. And God said, he saw your prayers from the day, first day you prayed for your friends. And you said, God, I want them set free. I want them filled with the Holy Ghost. And he said, I heard that. And he said, I see your pure heart. You've not asked for other things. You've asked for souls. And you've asked for the baptism of their lives in the Holy Ghost. And he said, because your heart is pure, you shall see an open heaven for you. You will see God like you've never seen him before. And you'll experience the weight of his glory. And sister, it's awesome. It's awesome. It's awesome. Be blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed. Whew, hallelujah. Oh, man. I'm having a hold on. Thank you, Jesus. Brenda, in honor of the Lord. He said he has crowned you with glory and honor. And he said, great is the number of women who publish my word. And he said, you're not just confined to your job. You're going to publish the word for Jesus. I don't know what that looks like, but he told me, Psalm 68:11, you'll publish the word for him. Amen? Amen. Can you play that song? We have about 5 minutes. I'm going to just keep y'all 5 minutes. Can Jesus have 5 more minutes? Can we play that song? And as the Lord moves you and you feel that you need to take back the lordship of Jesus in some area of your life, maybe it's your tongue, maybe it's your appetite, maybe it's the desires of your flesh. Take back the lordship of Jesus and crown him Lord of all. So as this song plays, I feel like I did what he told me to do, Pastor. And I'll turn it over to you. But I want us to have an encounter with Jesus. It's just about 4 minutes long. It's not going to hurt you. Everything will be fine at home. Your belly will wait. You'll be fine. You're not going to starve to death. We can give him these minutes and listen to the song.
Never let me go. Lay it all down.
Lay it down.
To hear you say that I'm afraid. You are my desire. No one else will do. 'Cause nothing else can take your place. To feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find a way. Bring me back to you.
Praise the Lord. He's all we desire, whether we know it or not. He's all that we desire. Praise God. Thank you so much, dear Rose. Appreciate it. Appreciate your ministry. Praise you, Lord. Have you been blessed? Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's stand together. Father, we thank you for your presence here tonight. We thank you for recalibrating us to your Lordship, to the majesty and the wonder of who you are, Father. We don't want to grow complacent, complaining, or indifferent to your glory, Lord, but to worship you in awe and in fear and wonder as you deserve to be worshiped. Help us, Holy Spirit, to that end, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. God bless you as you go. If you need special prayer for anything, we'll stick around at the end. Just come on up and we'll be glad to pray for you. Praise the Lord.